This CD is brought to you by Agape Word Center Church International, located in the heart of Beltsville at 6728A Industrial Drive, Beltsville, Maryland, 20705. Agape is pastored by Pastor Kasana Chongo and Lady C. Now, stay tuned for the word. We hope you will be blessed with this recording.
This month, beginning this week, beginning today, I'd like to switch gears over the next 90 days, actually. Over this second quarter, we'll be dealing with, we talked about new beginnings, right? We're dealing with new beginnings. And so new beginnings means we have to start from the basics. We have to go back to basics. And we started with dealing with our spirituality. We're talking about being people of the altar. We talked about dealing with things that hinder our new beginnings. We talked about being content in our lives. We talked about so many things. And now I'd like to switch gears, and I'd like to talk about, for the next 90 days, I'd like to deal with the subject of stewardship. Stewardship. Amen. So this second quarter, that'll be my focus, just dealing with stewardship. Hallelujah. Amen. So if we have children's class, they are released, and I don't know if we have youth class today. They are released as we get to the word. Hallelujah. So I'll be talking about the general topic of stewardship, and within the subject of stewardship, we'll be dealing with several things that deal with our work and our service to God. Amen. And it is important, friends, that we understand our place. Because if one does not understand their place on earth in God's plan, there will be abuse in how they live their lives. There will be abuse in how we live our lives. Amen. We need to understand that God has placed us on earth as a steward of his earth. The earth does not belong to you. It belongs to God. Amen. Let's begin our reading in the book of Psalm chapter 24 and verse number 1. Psalm chapter 24 and verse number 1. Can you all hear me? The Bible reads in Psalm chapter 24 and verse number 1 to verse number 2. The Bible reads, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Okay. Let's just read it again. "The world and those who dwell therein." Verse 2, "For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." I'll read again verse number 1. "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness and everything in it, the world and those who dwell therein." Okay? So, just that scripture, what does that tell you? This is not... does not belong to you, right? Does not belong to you. God has just given you a role here on earth. So it's important that we understand our place on the earth. Because if we do not understand our place, there'll be abuse. Somebody once said, if we do not know the use of something, what happens with that? The result is abuse. The result is abuse. So the word steward speaks of one who manages or oversees the possessions of somebody else. Okay? So biblical stewardship, friends, speaks of managing God's possessions to the satisfaction of the owner. Managing God's resources to the satisfaction of
God. We're talking about managing the assets that are placed in your possession for God to be well pleased with. Amen. And we need to understand, friends, that a steward is not an owner. Okay? We may behave like owners, but we are not owners. There is always somebody that will come to demand an accounting for it. It is important to understand that the owner will demand accountability for the gifts or possessions that he leaves in the steward's care. And so because of that, we also need to understand that the responsibilities that are given to a steward or to somebody who manages to you are such that you must produce. So there can be no laziness in the life of a steward. Are we together? Stewardship is not a topic where you get excited. It is a topic that demands a response from you. Stewardship is not a topic where you jump up and down. It is a topic where you sit down and meditate. Because it speaks volumes about how you manage the resources that God has given to you. Amen. Thank you for the amens. Hallelujah. Maybe I'll try where there are only few people. The faces are too stony this side. Stewardship speaks of managing or administering somebody else's economy. Somebody else's economy. So, the point I'm trying to make, friends, is that all that you are belongs to God. Your life belongs to God. Who you are belongs to God. And because you belong to God, God expects an accounting from you. Listen, you cannot be a steward except somebody has entrusted you with something. You cannot be accountable except you have been entrusted with an accountability process. You cannot be responsible for something except somebody has given you that responsibility. Let me help you understand, because many of us, we behave like owners when we are just managers. We behave like owners when we are just caretakers. Haven't you seen? I'm reminded of many years ago, and we had somebody that worked for us, and when we are not home, the guy, I mean, we're just a young couple. There was really nobody around, and he would live with us, and his name was Mikwell. And when we are not there, it was his house. The food, he would invite his girlfriends, and he'll be watching TV, and suddenly you show up unexpected, and you find him reclining in the one chair reserved for the owner. And then what does he do? He jumps up and down, and he hasn't done the work at all. Many of us, we behave like that as children of God. We behave like we are the owner, and yet we are just entrusted to take care of things, to look after things, to manage things, to administer, so that when the owner comes, he will find it well taken care of, and he will give you a reward. Hallelujah. Let me help you understand your place. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. The Bible reads, "Then God said, let us make man." Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. Hallelujah. He said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Okay? We have made him. We have created him. Why have we created him? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But I am now giving man what? Dominion. I'm giving him the responsibility of dominion over the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Over the birds of the air, the cattle, and everything else. Verse number 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, do what? Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. That's what? Your responsibility. He says what? Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over every living thing that moves on the earth. That's your responsibility. But you are not the owner of the earth. You have been given the place to do what? To manage. And he has given you all the qualities, ingredients, resources that are required for you to effectively do the job. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15. The Bible says, God then planted a garden. Now, this is when he created man. Okay, we're not going into the creation and formation here because we've been through that already. So God created man, but when he formed him in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, put form to him and placed him on this earth, he gave him now his earthly responsibility. He says, look, I told you to have dominion, but let me now give you terms of reference. Huh? What are terms of reference? This is how you ought to work. Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man. Which man? The man he had made. The man he had created. The man he had formed. And what did he do? He put him in the garden. Which garden? The garden he had planted. The garden of Eden, which had everything. The Bible says, in that garden, everything was there. The gold, the silver, the bdellium, everything was there. The resources, the water, life was flowing in the garden. So God prepared all the gifts, all the resources, everything in there before he even formed you. Before he even gave you everything, God made sure that everything you will ever need to live life on this earth was prepared. So why do you live like God has not prepared things for you? And so he says, man, take care of things. What did he do? He put him in the garden. Did he put him in the garden to be having walks with Eve? He put him in the garden to be sipping tea in the afternoon? No. Yes, God came to talk to him in the cool of the day, but there was a primary reason. That was secondary. What was primary? He says, I put you here to do what? To tend and to keep it. Other versions will simplify it for you. He says, to work the soil and to take care of it. To do what? To work and... So, God put man. Let's for a minute, tend to work. Working and taking care are two different things. Many of us, we want to take care, but we don't want to work. Hello? There can be no taking care if you have not worked for it. Many of us, we want to take care of what others have worked for. I've beautified Mrs. C. Now you want to start taking care of her when I have worked to beautify her. She has done her work on me. But you are looking at the work that has been done and you want to start taking care of. No. God said first do what? Work the soil. After you have worked it, after you have looked, shaped nicely, done the work, sculpted, then you take care. Spiritual friends, these things are spiritual. I know. You see, we rush to God shall do. God shall. God, yes, God shall. But primary responsibility, work. Then do what? Take care. That is your primary job as a steward. So why do you have a challenge with working? Why do we have a challenge with working? Because we don't like it. Let me help you understand what happens to people. What's the opposite of not working? Laziness, right? You know one thing I learned? I always used to wonder, I always used to see, growing up, I always used to see some of my friends, a couple of my friends, they had gardeners, servants, and they never did anything. All they did is drive their cars, father's cars, and do everything, do nothing. We had the gardener, we had the servant, and yet my father still wanted me to do the garden. I said, no, but I thought, what? I had to do the cleaning, I had to do everything. Why? Without understanding, friends, fast forward 5, 6, 7 years later in life, those people now could not manage life. And suddenly, I was falling back on what I had been taught, what I had learned. What I thought was a hard life suddenly became gold to me. Are you hearing me, friends? Work is critical. The challenge today in the body of Christ is that we're not willing to work. And last night I was meditating on this. And I said to myself, the problem is not really the membership of the church. I'm not talking about the church at Agape, but I'm talking about the body of Christ worldwide. I think the problem is also the teachers. We have not really imparted in the people that God requires an accounting from you. That God requires a responsibility. There is a responsibility from you. All we have taught the people is God will bless you. God will do this for you. God will break through for you. So we are so focused on what God will do for us, but what are we doing for God? And that is why, listen, friends, when you look at the Bible, God has put everything in there. So the natural order of God is that the child of God must rise above. He said, you'll cause me to ride on the high hills of life. But why is it that, have you noticed, it is always the Christian who is the laziest at work? Oh, maybe you don't know them. They are always the ones who want to take 5-minute prayer breaks. Forget the guy that's always smoking. And they complain to say, but you give that one a smoke break, you don't give me the work break, the prayer break. Did God tell you to be taking prayer breaks? You can pray as you work. You don't like that. But it's okay. I'll be on your case for the next 90 days. Proverbs chapter 6. We're looking at what? Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15. He said, let's work. Let's work. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 6. Hallelujah. You see, many times when we talk about stewardship, it has always been limited to finances. It's always limited to money, raising money. Yes, we'll come down that way. But you see, that's just a small part of God's overall demand and work and need in your life. And I'll show you through scripture as we go along how God rewards people that labor, people that reward, people that do, that tend and take care. Let's read together. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. The Bible says in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, a matter is what? Established. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Are we together? Look at this. Verse number 30. Let's read together. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. A man who is what? Lazy. A man who has what? No what? Understanding. Verse number 31. He says, and there it was all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. He said, when I looked at how overgrown things were, when I looked at how things were looking, I got some knowledge and understanding. I considered the matter. And I said, let me receive some instruction here. Laziness has no place in God's kingdom. Amen. Turn to somebody and tell them, laziness has no place in God's kingdom. Look at them again and say, Christians, we have... We have confused the laziness with spirituality. Let me put it nice, in a nicer way. Many of us are lazy and we call ourselves spiritual. And God is not pleased with us. He's not. Oh yeah, I had a friend at school. In high school, I was in a boarding school. And in my generation, we wrote exams in 10th grade to go to the 11th grade. He got born again, I think, in the 9th grade. He replaced history with the history of the Bible. He replaced social studies with the Gospels. He replaced whatever else, mathematics, with the letters of Paul. He replaced, so when we are studying for the math, he's studying the book of Acts. And he said, I have no need to study. God will take care of me. So by the time we were writing exams, and you know in my generation, how you know is those who come back the next year. When you don't see the person, you know what has happened. Then we heard from his friend, who they were together from. He said the man, the minute he received his results and noticed that he had not made it, he even turned away from God. Why? He had replaced the laziness with fake spirituality. But God says your work is as spiritual as your prayer life. He said, I receive instruction from that there is no room for laziness. Let me help somebody. Let me ask somebody, in your place of work, how many get promoted for being lazy? The last time I checked, you get fired. Huh? Or if you don't get fired, especially if you work in the government, they just leave you in the same place and the child you used to take to daycare finds you and leaves you in the same position. Is that not so? Until you just get frustrated and you say, I've reached retirement age, and you leave. I know Christians don't like these discussions. They just want to know how God will visit you, how God will deliver you, how God will take care. I have seen it. I have seen it in the name of Jesus. There is a place for that. But the place for that, let me help somebody. The Bible even says it in the book of 1 Timothy. He says, Timothy, my son, by the prophecies you have received, wage war. When you receive the prophecy, you then begin to work. He says, by prophecy, wage war. You don't wage war by nothing. What is that saying? Work. You need to work. Listen, friends, when we talk about stewardship, you need to understand that you are managing somebody's possessions. You need to work. He said, I received instruction. And what was the instruction you received? Verse 33, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands to rest. What will happen to you? They want to read it. I'm reading it in my heart. Verse 33. Thank you, sir. A little sleep. Let's read. A little slumber. A little folding of the hands to rest. Now, wait there. When he started in verse 30, he said he went by the field of who? A lazy person. So, which means even the hard-working person can do what? Can have a little sleep. The hard-working person can have a little slumber. The hardworking person can also have what? A little folding of the hands to rest. But the lazy man has not worked and he still wants to sleep, still wants to slumber, still wants to fold his hands. Huh? What is the result of that? Verse 34. So shall your poverty come like a thief and your need like an armed robber. Now, how many of us have been praying deliverance prayers for casting forth spirit of poverty? I know I'm treading. Oh, no. Listen, friends. There is a place for the spirit of poverty. And there is a place for you coming out of poverty by using the principles of God. Amen. It's kind of like when a spirit comes upon you and releases some sickness or some oppression. What do? Before you start casting out devils, okay, we deal with this in deliverance. But before I cast out devils, I need to make sure, is this an issue that is spiritual or it is an issue that you need to deal with yourself by your way, by your life? Because what's the point of praying for spirit, cast out the spirit of poverty in the name of, and the guy is lazy. I cast you in the name of Jesus. Spirit of, there's no spirit of poverty there. Just tell the man to start working. Okay. I'll leave that alone. I'm helping somebody. I know what I'm talking about. I know people don't like this kind of teaching. And I'm... Let's stay there. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. So what is the Bible saying? The Bible is saying that you need to do what? You need to be productive. You need to be productive. 2 Thessalonians. We are looking at Genesis chapter 2 verse number 15. 2 Thessalonians. Taking a minute on this, but go back and get my message on work. I taught a message on that. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You know, today I said to myself, I'll just stand in one place and I'll just do my thing. Instead, I'm doing my thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Second Thessalonians chapter 3 verse number 10. Let's read up to verse number 12. Let's read together. 3 verse 10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Verse 11. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busy bodies. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Now, is that the Old Testament? So, is it not saying the same thing? Mm-hmm. So, let's not confuse laziness for spirituality. Now, there are people that may not be able to work genuinely. Okay? And the Bible makes provision for that. But the general order of God is that everybody must labor. And that in every, whenever you labor, God will reward you. Look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. Proverbs 14, verse 23. Shall we read again together? In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. What is he saying? In every labor there is what? Profit. But always tap, 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 tap. Think people over this second quarter, over these next three. My prayer is that God will help you to realign in the areas that need alignment, so that you can truly experience the blessing that God has given. I'd like us to just take this minute and just talk to God. Just talk to God. Say, God, help me, show me the areas where you need me to be an effective steward. You know, many times we think we are doing well until somebody points out our flaws. So come to God in humility and say, God, show me the areas where I need to improve. Show me the areas where I need to lay my life down. All of us, including me who's talking, there are areas in our life that we still need to work on. Talk to God and let Him show you. Perhaps it's in the area of your gifts, your abilities. God, the abilities you have given me, show me the areas where I am underutilized. Areas, Lord, where I may be lazy. How I give of my resources. What I do with my resources. I don't know what area it is. But I'd like us to just take a minute as Brother K just gives us some sound there. Just talk to God for a minute. Let's talk to God. Just talk to Him. Some of us, we may need to rededicate our lives to Jesus. Some of us, we may need to come to a mindset of understanding that everything that we have belongs to God. That we are just managers, administrators, and not owners. Father, in the name of Jesus, have your way, Lord. Help us, oh God, on this journey to becoming faithful stewards, to becoming effective stewards. That we will not be found, oh God, in the place of the unjust steward, Lord. We will not be found in the place, oh God, of the lazy steward. We will not be found, oh God, in the place, Lord, where we are not doing the work you have assigned us, oh God. Father, help us, oh God, to identify the areas where we need your divine intervention in our lives.